on the importance and the greatness of the church. Today's lesson surrounds the city of refuge. The passage that was read is a passage around which a lot of what will be discussed today is from that passage. Of course, you have a place like Joshua 20 also that tells about the city of refuge. You have a passage like Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, which tells how we run for refuge. That is, we the Christian. We have in recent times we have been hearing much over the past 2-3 years about refugees. There's a lot, both in Europe as men and women, including children whose lives have been endangered in the Middle East, the lives for them have become so dangerous that they jeopardize their own lives in seeking refuge on the continent of Europe. They will try to come in boats that are not safe, and they will overpack those boats. They are running from danger and they are seeking refuge. They are referred to, therefore, as refugees. We have also have the situation in South North America, because you have people from South America trying to get to the border of the United States. They go through places like Mexico and other places trying to find refuge and safety because their lives have been endangered. They are in peril. And this is what refuge is about. If you and I have not experienced anything like that, let us give God thanks. A refugee is one who flees, run from danger, from distress, from calamity. It is one who seeks shelter and seeks protection and safety from danger and harm, a refugee. Therefore, when the word refuge is used, always think in terms of a place, a home, a city, a cave, somewhere that offer you some form of safety, shelter, and protection. Let us hear a little more of verse 6, Brother Webb.
And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge.
God. Six cities of refuge. Read on.
Which he shall appoint for the manslayer. That he
those cities of refuge, notice how we describe it, will be for the manslayer. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? A person who kill another person. But that's a murderer, Brother Mitchell. Well, technically, in God, because what we see at play here, and it's important that we get this. What we see at play here in God making provision for the city of refuge is both God's holiness and justice on one side and God's goodness and mercy on the other side. Manslayer. It's a person who took another person's life, but it was not premeditated. It was not out of hate, bitterness, where the person planned that I'm going to kill him or her. It was not like that. Hence, because the city of refuge was not for such a person. It was for situation where probably out of vexation and what, two people get physical and one probably slip and knock his head on a stone or some other thing. But it was not premeditated murder. So, here we have it. On Israel's march from Egypt. Did I say from Egypt? Yes. Remember, Egypt symbolized sin. As Israel marched from Egypt, what other words can that be called, Brother Mitchell? Exodus. As Israel marched from Egypt to the promised land, the wise, the merciful, the holy God commanded Moses to instruct the Israelite that in the rest of the 11 tribes getting their inheritance, they should not only give to the Levites. Brother Mitchell, who are those people? One of the tribe of Israel, but they were the priesthood tribe. They were the one who officiate around the spiritual or the religious things, the Levite. They did not get inheritance like the other tribe. The other tribe should give them cities to dwell in and suburbs, and among that which was given to them was six cities of refuge. Three of these cities on one side of Jordan and three on the other side of Jordan. Wait. This was to make it so that there was a city of refuge close enough, scattered around Israel inheritance, so that when a man need to run to the city of refuge, it was not very far. We'll be dealing with that, showing, telling how according to Israelite secular history, roads were to be better than the road that served the general roads to the city of refuge. There were finger signs telling, giving direction to the city of refuge. Because you see, the person who runs to the city of refuge usually have somebody running after him. In many cases, it was a family of the person who he killed. That's right. And that person was referred to as the avenger of blood. And in many cases, he comes, he looks for you. You kill my brother, my sister, my mother, my uncle, or my aunt. That person come with vengeance and determination like a pit bull. So the man who was running to the city of refuge, he need to find it quick. He need not to delay. Wait. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that the city of refuge was all about Jesus Christ and the church? Mr. Mitchell, I didn't hear you. What does that have to do with the church? That took place some 1,200 years before Jesus Christ. Yes, it was about Jesus Christ and the church, the cities of refuge. In this provision for six cities to be known as cities of refuge, in this provision, we see the holiness and the justice of God. I repeat, when the Almighty God commanded Moses to instruct the Israelites to make provision in giving the Levites some of their inheritance to make provision for the city of refuge, that was a reflection. It was a reflection on the holiness and justice of God, and at the same time, the mercy and the goodness of God. That's right. Both of those are seen in God's provision for the city of refuge. Wait, God's holiness and justice call for the punishment of wrongdoer. That's right. It was not that you kill a person accidentally or whatever and it does not offend God. And God's holiness and justice call for the punishment of the sinner. But at the same time, God's mercy and goodness make provision for the wrongdoer. If that wrongdoer has the right attitude. Wait. You see, only a wrongdoer with the right attitude going to run to the city of refuge. God make provision for the person to be given some allowances. Wait, it not finished there, you know. Because he will ultimately have to stand before the congregation to be judged. That's right, but we don't get to that yet. I'm not even sure we'll get to that this week. So most likely it will be a two lesson And it's quite instructive and enlightening. So in that we see the holiness and the justice of God. We see the mercy and the goodness of God. As I've said, the city of refuge was, they were, in a way, typical types or examples of Jesus Christ and the church, pointing those cities of refuge, 1,200-1,300 years before Christ, they were pointing to Jesus Christ and his church as man's only refuge from eternal danger, harm, and peril. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean? Do we face eternal harm, eternal danger, eternal peril? Yes, we do, because of our sins. Run to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. Run to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Let us hear 2 Thessalonians 1, 7.
And to you who are troubled.
And to you who are troubled. Wait. In any form or shape, you are in trouble. Are you in trouble with God because of your sin? Are you in trouble with your fellow men? Here is shelter and refuge.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us.
Rest with us.
When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven.
Jesus Christ is going to come again.
Mm-hmm. With his mighty angels.
He is coming not alone. He is coming not with weak and puny angel. He is coming with his mighty angel.
In flaming fire.
He's coming in flaming fire.
Taking vengeance on them that know not God.
Do you know God? Do you know God? I asked the question before that. Or make the statement that we face danger. We face danger from the holy and just God. Danger from God is danger that is unimaginable. We cannot comprehend what the wrath, the vexation of the Almighty God is. You know why? Because in our human finite, limited state, there are some things that are beyond our imagination, because there is no form or shape in which any of us experience them. So the wrath of God. And the passage that the brother is very important, but in a few minutes I'm going to ask that the rest of the verse, the verse 9, be read. Right now it's just verse 7. That Jesus Christ is coming, am I right? He's coming with his mighty angel, I'm right there too. And he's coming in flame of fire, I'm right and correct there. And he's coming to take what? Vengeance. Every sensible person here, if you are sensible, you ought to be afraid of human vengeance. Truly. When you give a man or a woman reason to hate you, bitterly are to want your demise, want you out of the way, and you have done them something wrong. It's something we should avoid. So God's vengeance. Who will take vengeance on, brother?
In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God.
If you do not know God, you need to now seek shelter. Rather, refuge. But vengeance upon them that know not God, and what?
And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Are you living an obedient life? Are you living an obedient life? Because danger is ahead if we are not. Let me hear Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? That the cities of refuge provided for by God in Israel some 1200 or so years before Christ, they were pointing to Jesus Christ and the church as man's only refuge from eternal danger, eternal harm, and eternal peril. If you are wise, you will seek that refuge now. Let us hear Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18.
That by two immutable things.
Start again.
That by two immutable things.
That by two immutable things. Things that will not change. That's what the word immutable means, that which does not change. Read now.
In which it is impossible
for God to lie.
We might have a strong consolation.
We, Brother McFarlane, that we refers to the Christian. That we refer to men and women who have responded to God's invitation of love and mercy in Jesus Christ. We may have what type of consolation?
A strong consolation.
Strong consolation. Who are they?
Who have fled for refuge.
Wait. They fled for what, brother?
For refuge.
They fled for what?
Refuge.
Those who have fled for refuge.
To lay upon the hope.
To lay hold upon.
The hope.
The hope.
Set before us.
Set before us. Let's talk about Christian. We run for refuge in Jesus Christ. We run for refuge in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why we need refuge? There is danger pending. Huh? Everyone need Jesus Christ and his church as refuge against the storms of time and against the storms of eternity. Everyone needs refuge. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. Quick. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. Quick.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering?
Brother, wait. When you read, I thought you said, decided no, but is despised thou. I thought I heard decided no. So read it again, brother, plainly.
Or despisest thou.
Or despised you. Do you despise
the riches of his
the
goodness?
The riches and the what?
The riches of his goodness.
The riches of God's goodness. Wait. No. Get this. Do you just throw God's goodness and mercy one side? Do you just count it as nothing? It is something we should cherish. God's goodness and mercy. And cherishing it means we should utilize all the privilege we have in Christ. If you are sitting in this audience today and if you're not a Christian, you should run to give your life to Jesus Christ, showing God that you appreciate his good. Wait, read, brother. Or despise it thou
the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering.
Wait, what does that forbearance, brother, mean? What does that mean? That God bear long with you. Brother Mitchell, I am 20 years old. That it means for the past 8, 9 or whatever years, God, or 6 years, God has been bearing with your sin and trespasses. Forbearance. But let's say you are 40. It means for the past 20, 25 years, God has been forbearing, putting up with your sinfulness and your offense against it. You get it? Forbearance. Read, my brother.
And long suffering.
And God suffers long with you.
Not knowing.
Don't you? You see, when God bear with you and you just live your life, so you're just a galanso. The only time you remember God is when you want a refrigerator. You are going to pray to God for a refrigerator. The only time you want God is when you want a new TV, when you want to win the lotto. You see how far you got? You bring God in your sinfulness, gambling, because you don't know him. You see? And if and when Satan make you win, you say, God make you win. That itself is sinful when you bring God in your sinfulness. And God put up with you. Read, no brother.
Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
You see, that's why God put up with us. Are you all there? These past 8 years, you have been living disobedient life. You only remember God when you want something from him. These past 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, what the passage is saying, all this suffering God put up with you, all the patience he exercised, it was meant to pull you to him. It was meant to say for you, if you have any conscience, for you to say, but my God, there is a God. I didn't happen by accident. God created me, and look how I've been living and don't pay any attention to the teaching of the Bible. I don't try to give him my life. I just do my own thing. And even for some Christians, serving God is a convenient thing. You see them in worship only when it is convenient. Well, let me not go there because that take up a lot of time. That's right. What it says, brother? Knowing that the goodness of God was meant for what? Everybody get that? That God has put up with you all these years is God's mercy saying to you, turn to me. Turn to me. Turn from sinful practices, disregard for God, not giving God the life of worship you are to give. God says, change. That's what God's goodness was about. Lord, I want to use this as illustration. I was glad last night to see Brother Blake Matthew. As I've said, Brother Blake's job takes him, it involves a lot of traveling. And it just worked out. It's about the second time Matthew told me just work out when Anne decided to migrate. She have a job waiting for her. Matthew probably felt he would go up with them, get them and come back. But right then, in the tourist industry where he worked, there was a job in the U.S. and he happened at that time to have his landed document. But what Matthew, it comes down to the fact that he said, Brother Mitchell, as I assess God's guiding us and blessing us over the past few years, he said, why? What is this about? It's not because I'm good. What plan, what work does God have for me? And he said it makes him afraid, in that he wants to make sure that whatever goal, objective, work God has for him, that he will live up to it. Isn't that wonderful? So I'm saying to you, when God has put up with you, has put up with all your mess over the years, don't just galang so. Because God's goal for you is that you turn your life over to him. And for Christian who has been in and out, today they hot, tomorrow they cold, God says, get hot. Wait, the passage is not finished, brother.
Mm-hmm. But after thy hardness.
After what?
Thy hardness.
After what?
Thy hardness.
Hold on. Don't move far. Do you know that we can drift? I've pointed this out many times. We can drift. We can drift little by little. And this is why some of you are backsliding or have backslidden and don't even realize it. That is, you are living in sin. Not because you go out and kill and commit murder and adultery. No. But because you have abandoned the right way of God. You drift. You drift. You drift. You drift. You reach the edge and you fall over until you cannot come back. What that say, brother?
After thy hardness.
After your hardness.
An impenitent heart.
And your heart that does not decide to repent. Impenitent. Mm-hmm.
But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart, treacherous up unto thyself, wrath.
Wait. Do what to yourself?
Treacherous up unto thyself, wrath against.
Wait. Brother Webb, you see. Treacherous up. That means save up. You think only money you save up? No. When we pay scant regard to God's patience and mercy, and we keep just living our own life, some of us as Christians, we just serve God as it convenient for us. We are saving up. But you know, brothers and sisters, we are saving up something that we don't want to save up. It is the
wrath.
The wrath of God. That is the outpouring of vexation. That's what we are saving that up. When we do not respond to God's mercy and grace in a grateful or positive way. Read, brother, some more in the passage.
Unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath.
You see, there is a day of wrath coming. That's why we need refuge in Jesus Christ and the church. against the day of wrath
and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
You see, that is touching on the holiness and justice of God. Justice, judgment, that comes out of God's holiness.
Who will render
to every man
according to his deeds.
Uh-huh.
To them who by patient continuance.
That's the Christian. Who by patience, continuance in?
In well-doing.
Well-doing, doing what is right.
Seek for glory.
They seek for glory.
And honor.
They seek for honor.
And immortality.
And they seek for immortality in
eternal life.
That's the Christian. But read on.
But unto them
that are
contentious and do not obey the truth.
Wait, brother, you see, obedience to God's word is important. Those who do not obey the truth. Wait, Christian. I'm giving you this free. I don't charge you for this. You and I do not make the rule for Christianity. We must remember that. You don't. Either you or I sit at our home or wherever and make rule. A lot of times, those things we put in our head only condemn us. God is the one who make the rule for Christianity. And for you to know those rules, you must study the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read, brother.
But to them that are contentious
mm-hmm.
and do not obey the truth,
mm-hmm.
but obey unrighteousness,
uh-huh.
indignation,
and wrath,
tribulation, and anguish.
Wait. You see why we need refuge? Huh? This is not what will be coming from human beings. This is, wait, brother, run over the list again. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying to you, we need refuge.
But obey.
In effect, we are refugee because there's danger about to overtake us. We need to find ourselves in Jesus Christ and the church. Working for him, worshiping him, enhancing the work for which the church was put here. So what you say is coming from God, Brother Mitchell, that we won't like? Let me hear it, Brother Webb.
But obey unrighteousness, indignation.
Indignation.
And wrath.
Wrath. Wrath is the outpouring of divine vexation. Wrath. Tribulation.
And anguish.
Anguish.
Upon every soul of man that doeth evil. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Everybody get it? The holiness and the justice of God has in store danger, distress, harm, and peril beyond our imagination. But the grace and mercy of God has made provision in Jesus Christ and the church where we can seek refuge. Thanks be to God for the refuge that is available in Christ. May I get this? I just look at my time and discover that I don't have probably a 5 or 10 minutes more, if that much. May I get this? What is quite instructive? We're not going to get to that this week, but The names given to the 6 cities of refuge, 6 of them, the names. The names are enlightening, they are instructive, they open your eyes. Each of these names. But as I've said, we're not going to get to that this week. I just want to bring up one or two more things, and the lesson will be yours. We want to examine some enlightening, I would call them preliminaries, for a few more minutes. One, very important that all of us try to understand this, because remember, the city of refuge, as outlined in the book of Numbers 35, verse 1 following, and Joshua chapter 20. Well, it was all about Jesus Christ and the church. Notice this now about these cities. The cities of refuge, they were meant for the guilty. That is, the guilty who was in grave danger if he was caught by the avenger of blood. So what we must keep in mind is for whom the city of refuge was meant. It was never meant so much for the innocent other than the administrator. The administrators were the Levites. The priests would try. They were the administrators of the city of refuge. But other than they, the administrators, the cities of refuge, they were meant for the guilty who was in danger if the avenger of blood catch up with him before he reached the city of refuge. Verse 11, quick, brother. I'm just running down these so that we don't have this to deal with next week. Verse 11 of chapter 35.
Then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares.
The killer who killeth any person unaware, he wasn't planning to commit murder. If that happened, if he commits a murder, he could flee to the city of refuge, because usually a family member or some other person would be running to catch him and kill him. So it was for the guilty. May I? Brother Mitchell, how does that relate to Christ? You know, see? Jesus Christ and the church is for the sinners.
That's right. Amen. The guilty, yeah.
Whatever your sin, yeah. Whatever your spiritual or moral defect, Jesus Christ is calling you because he can deal with your guilt.
Amen.
And your sin.
Amen.
That's right. Let us run to another one. It was for everyone, watch here, who was guilty of manslaughter and was therefore in danger of being caught by the avenger of blood. What do you mean by everyone, Brother Mitchell? It was not only for Jews. That's interesting. I find that interesting. And that is one of the provisions that tells me that really it was pointing to Jesus Christ and the church. In that age, you'd think that God make that type of provision only for the Jews. In that age. But it was not for the Jews. It was for Jews and Gentiles. Verse 15.
These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner.
Y'all hear that? It was not only for the children of Israel, but for the strangers and for the sojourner.
Among them.
Among you. That is non-Israelite. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, there is no distinction. Neither wealth, education, ethnic, nationality. All of us are welcome in Jesus Christ. Not only that, whatever your sin, it's not that Jesus Christ is for those who commit this sin, but he's not for those who commit this. No, Jesus Christ and the church is for all men and women. If you will just recognize that you are a sinner, you see, those are people who run to the city of refuge. They recognize that they were guilty and that they were in danger. That's why they run to the city of refuge. You must realize that you are guilty in God's sight. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Not only that, I said 5-10 minutes. Yes, I'm about closing. The guilty, and you must not miss this. In fact, while I have another point I would like to share within this lesson that I don't pick that up next week, but I may have to let that stay, in addition to some enlightening, encouraging things about the names of the cities of refuge and some other interesting things. You see, but watch here, brothers and sisters. That is, that's right, you are hearing. The guilty, the men, Brother Mitchell, was it only men it was for? You see, I know that I have been emphasizing the men who run to the city of refuge, as if to imply that it was only for men. It was meant for anybody. But you see, in those days, just like in our time, men are the ones who were most likely to be manslayer, commit murder. But Brother Mitchell, in our time, well, yes, you may have some ladies in our time who, but still they cannot catch the many men who are committing murder, even in our time. That's right. It's terrible. Sister Michelle was sharing with the turkey fried chicken. They just ride on the bike and stole the woman's chicken. What will be coming? We are like animal. Huh? What's wrong? Sorry, let me get back to the lesson, no? That's right. So wait. The guilty who run to the city of refuge, watch here. They were safe. They were secure. They had refuge. Only so long as they remain in the city of refuge. Anyway, they decide they want to see some other places and left the borders of the city of refuge, and the manslayer catch them 1 inch out of the city of refuge. If you are caught 1 inch out of the city of refuge, the avenger of blood would kill you there. In fact, let me read it. Read it now, brother, in the book. In verse 26.
But if the slayer shall at any time...
You're going to read through verse 28. But if the slayer, that is the man who had run to... who had run to the city of refuge. If he's the slayer,
shall at any time come,
shall at any time
without the border of the city of his refuge.
Wait, without the border, mean outside of the border of the city of refuge.
Whither he was fled. And the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge.
Anyway, the man who is looking for you find you outside. Wait, the revenger of blood, you know, is pointing to God's holiness and justice. That's right. That's right. Find you
without the borders of the city of his refuge. And the revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood.
That is the man who killed you because you were outside. That man is not guilty of any crime. Read on.
Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge.
Brother Webb, I'm closing. That is telling us that when we get in the church,
yes,
stay in the church.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's what that is about.
Yes.
You are a child of God. You give your life to Jesus Christ. Stay with Jesus Christ. Don't leave the church.
Amen, amen, amen.
Because anywhere, death or whatever, take you out there. It is the wrath and vexation of God that will be your inheritance.
Yes.
What verse are you?
That's 20. We are in 28.
Well, stop there, brother, because if anything, just say stay. Remember the city of refuge. They were pointing to Jesus Christ and the church. And what the brother has just read meant is telling us you get in Jesus Christ. You know, there are many passages. What comes to my mind right now is a passage in the book of St. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in, you shall ask whatever you want in my name. Then another passage coming to my mind is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are we, brother? In Jesus Christ. To remain in Christ means you are in the church. When you are in the church as a faithful, functioning child of God, you are in Christ. Because the church is the body of Christ. The Bible tells me that as long as you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Wait. You cannot be in Jesus Christ when you are forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Worship is a part of our Christianity. Here is a command. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Brother Mitchell, I don't even know what that means. That means don't stay away from the church, from the assembly, from worship. Don't stay away from other Christians who meet to worship God. That is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24-25. That's a command. When you stay away, it means you are in sin. There are Christians who feel they are living the Christian life when you have not seen them for weeks upon weeks and months. They are in sin. And you as fellow Christian need to tell these brothers and sisters to be away from worship is sinful. Today, as a man or woman who has never known Jesus Christ, you have never become Christian the Bible's way, what great opportunity Jesus Christ gives you now, right now. You can step forward believing that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and paid the price for your sin which you could not pay. You believe that? Then you can repent. Repentance takes but a few seconds where you make a decision that you will give up your way of life and turn to Jesus's. Repentance. But you must also be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you must be baptized for the removal of sin. Today, in a few minutes or seconds, we are going to stand up and sing. And you can step forward. If you are a child of God who have strayed, backslidden, you are in danger, whether you realize it or not. You need to step forward, acknowledging that you have sinned and that you want, you acknowledge your sin and you want to make a recommitment to Jesus Christ. There is no better time to do that than now. You know why? Jesus Christ doesn't promise us the next hour, but he has given us now. City of refuge, telling us of God's holiness and justice and God's goodness and mercy. The church, Jesus Christ and his church, is now man's city of refuge. You can be a part of the church of Christ right now as we stand and sing.